Esta noche, y como ya dije, estamos aquí para celebrar, y me encanta tener una celebración aquí en la iglesia, porque aunque tenemos celebraciones en las escuelas y debemos de, pero aquí en la iglesia podemos reconocer a quién es el que nos ha dado el poder, quién es el que nos ha dado la salud, quién es el que nos ha dado el conocimiento para hacer lo que hemos hecho. No solo como padres, en ayudar a nuestros hijos a terminar una etapa en su vida como es la escuela, pero también para que los estudiantes puedan ver que es solamente por la gracia de Dios que estamos aquí. Es por la gracia de Dios, no por tu inteligencia, aunque sí toma inteligencia, ¿verdad?, terminar, pero no es solamente por nuestra inteligencia que hemos hecho y tenido lo que hemos hecho y lo que tenemos, sino es que por Dios, por su poder, por su bondad, que podemos celebrar y estar aquí hoy en esta noche. Recuerdo un poco cuando gradué de kinder y tuvimos la celebración en nuestra iglesia. No era aquí en esta propiedad, fue en la propiedad que teníamos antes de esta, que está ahí cerca del Conway, sobre la calle Citriana, yep, ahí con cerca de Conway, Mayberry, ahí está Citriana. Y lo que recuerdo de esa celebración, más que nada, era el regalo. No recuerdo mucho el mensaje porque, bueno, tenía 5 años de edad, pero sí recuerdo el regalo, y era, yo creo que lo favorito que yo esperaba en esa celebración. Y yo sé que tenemos que 4 de kinder aquí hoy, y yo creo que también mi hijo es uno de ellos, y él me dijo, ¿y qué nos van a dar? Ay, pues le dije, no sé, va a ser sorpresa, le dije, no sé. Pero es algo que así de kinder yo sé que están esperando, y con gozo como iglesia le damos este regalo para uno decir que gracias a ellos, ¿verdad?, lo que han hecho, y celebrar con ellos eso. Pero también para los padres y miembros de nuestra iglesia, porque sin ustedes no podemos celebrar esto. Sin ustedes como miembros y como familias fieles a Dios, no podríamos hacer lo que estamos haciendo como iglesia. Por dos razones estamos diciendo gracias, dando regalos y celebrando hoy en esta noche. Lo que vamos a hacer es lo que hemos hecho antes, porque a mí me encanta saludar y dar los regalos. Voy a pedir a nuestro pastor y mérito, Pastor Noé, que él venga y diga los nombres de cada graduante. Yo voy a estar ahí abajo entregando entonces el regalo a cada uno hoy en esta noche. También antes que él viene, nomás quiero decir también, hermanos, damas, si han ido allá a los baños y sienten muy caliente, se nos quebró una mañana el aire acondicionado, nomás ese lado. Perdón que está tan caliente, hablé con el hermano que nos ayuda con los aires, no pudo llegar hoy, va a llegar mañana. De esa información de nada le sirve, pero nomás para que sepan, hermanos, sí se va a componer, pero nomás es, ojalá que nomás sea este domingo que vamos a tener que aguantar este calor. Para las damas que van allá al lobby o allá a los baños, eso es lo que está pasando. Pero en el nuevo edificio está muy frío, y yo sé que vamos a gozar el tiempo de compañerismo después de este servicio. Pastor, si puede venir y reconocer las graduantes.
Muy bien, hermanos, vamos a empezar con los que han luchado más. Estos de kinder han luchado más. Primera vez en su vida que tenían que levantarse a 1 hora todos los días. Y medios dormidos, medio despiertos, medios comidos, medios bañados, se fueron a la escuela. Y esos de veras que lucharon bastante. Primera vez en su vida que se enfrentaban a una situación tan difícil, y por eso nos da gusto ahora recordarlos a ellos. Así es que cuando oigan su nombre, vengan aquí a recibir su regalito, y así también les reconocemos. ¿Ok? Empezamos con Alison Jiménez. All right. Muy bien, sigue Marcos Morales. Y Jeremiah J. Mendoza. Andrew Aranday. Muy bien, ya estos caminaron su primera caminada y ya han recibido sus primeros reconocimientos. Ahora vamos a seguir con los que ya han pasado kinder, primero, segundo, tercero, y pensaríamos ya en high school ya no batallaban levantarse. Preguntémosles a ver si no es, a ver si es verdad. Aún en high school también batallaban levantarse, pero se levantaron. Así es que vamos a empezar con Keila C. Olivares. Victoria Cobos. Neila Garay. Abigail Cuellar. Víctor Cobos. Fabián Buenrostro. Amén. Ángel García. Muy bien, esa es entonces el grupo, ese es el grupo que ya está a medio camino y le falta un saltito más de 4 años si van por el menos y otros van mucho más para allá, que es la universidad. Pero tenemos uno de la universidad que ya terminó en su práctica y Dios le va a ayudar a avanzar. Víctor Arredondo. Ok, pastor, ahí están los graduados. Ahora le entregamos el tiempo a usted.
I got my mic, thank you. Una vez más, hermanos, gracias. En graduantes, una vez más, felicidades. Vamos a continuar con un tiempo de alabanza. Vamos a, les voy a pedir que se pongan de pie conmigo. El hermano Quintanilla nos va a dirigir en un himno más y después vamos a entrar al tiempo del mensaje. No va a ser muy largo hoy en esta noche, pero ojalá sea de bendición. Hermano Quintanilla, si puede venir y nos dirija en otro himno.
Seguimos contentos, hermanos, alabando y glorificando al Señor. Y gracias al Señor por estos graduados, ¿verdad? Dios les bendiga. Vamos a entonar este precioso himno que se titula Mi Roca.
Yeah.
pueden tomar asiento, hermanos. Si tienen sus Biblias, abren a Eclesiastés capítulo 12. Eclesiastés capítulo 12. Y voy a estar predicando en los dos idiomas, inglés y en español, pero quizás un poco más en inglés que el español. Más por el hecho que los graduantes, pienso, yo sé que entienden los dos, la mayoría, pero el inglés a veces es lo que dominan más. Y como el mensaje es más dirigido a ellos, quiero estar seguro que van entendiendo. So, vamos a estar haciendo eso, right? Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and let me just say, as I said in Spanish a minute ago, that I'm going to be preaching in both languages, but more English than Spanish, and I know you graduates speak both, but if you're anything like me, which most of you are, we kind of dominate the English language a little bit better than the Spanish, and I just don't want you to miss what the message is for you this evening, all right? So Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, and we're going to be reading verse 13 and verse 14, just two verses that should mean we'd be out of here in 5 minutes, but it's not, okay? We are going to go a little bit longer. Dos versículos nada más, como quisiera decir que terminaremos en 5 minutos, pero no es cierto, hermanos. Vamos a hacer un poco más de 5, quizás 10, all right? Quizás 10 a 15, pero algo que es muy importante de lo que la palabra de Dios nos enseña en este pasaje. Just a real important passage. And it's Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Now, before I read it, let me just say that we've come to a moment this evening, a moment in time when the close of one stage of life arrives and a new one begins. You're finishing one stage of life. Whether you're in kinder, you just finished your kindergarten year, which is very exciting. Whether you're in high school, you're finishing a second stage of life, which is a little bit of a higher education. Or whether you're like Victor, finishing college, which is perhaps the highest of education before you go into graduate school. Every stage is different. And as you end one stage and begin another stage, it's always a little bit scary. It's always something that brings a little insecurity in us. And yet, the good thing is, the good news is, we have a Bible tonight that speaks about every stage of life. Right? Estamos terminando una etapa para estos estudiantes, una etapa en su vida, y entrando a otra etapa. Unos de kinder, ahora lo que va a ser la secundaria o lo que va a ser el elementary, primaria, secundaria. Los que están terminando la prepa van a entrar en otra etapa en el colegio, y los que están terminando el colegio van entrando a lo que es la vida, ¿verdad? Y en cada etapa son cosas diferentes, pero lo bueno es que en cada etapa, aunque hay mucha inseguridad saliendo de uno, entrando en uno nuevo, es que tenemos una Biblia que habla de cada etapa de la vida. Y hay un libro en este libro, que es la Biblia. Hay 66 libros en la Biblia, pero hay un libro que es el libro de Eclesiastés, que habla mucho sobre las etapas de la vida. Just Ecclesiastes is all about stages of life. And what you'll find about stages of life is that, yes, they are a little bit scary going into a new stage of life. But in the book of Ecclesiastes, as you're reading through it, the book was written by a man who could be labeled as one who's done it all. There's nothing that this man really didn't try in his life. He had all the money he ever needed, wanted, or dreamed of. He had every opportunity that he wanted to try out in life. And you could say that he kind of did it all. You say, well, who wrote this book? Who is this guy that did it all? The Bible names him as King Solomon. He was David's son. He was the one that came into the kingdom after David and inherited the kingdom of Israel and really took it to a whole new level. If you read about his life, King Solomon really was one that put Israel on the map. I mean, not only did they have world dominance and were an empire in and of themselves, but their economy was not like our economy. All right, if you want to look at it this way, gas was like 10 cents a gallon, okay? I mean, it was an amazing economy, and Israel thrived under King Solomon. And yet, Even though he was the wisest man, and by the way, the only reason he was the wisest man is because God came to him one night, and God said, I'm gonna give you one wish. Whatever it is that you want, Solomon, you ask me, and I'm going to give it to you. What is the one thing that you want? If you want riches, I'll make you the richest man in the world. He said, if you want life, I'll make you live the longest life anyone's ever lived. You tell me, Solomon, what it is you want. And graduates, listen what he asked for. He didn't ask for money, even though he could have. He didn't ask for the longest life, even though he could have. He simply asked for wisdom. He said, I'm about to start a new stage of life, God, to be the king of Israel. And honestly, what I need more than anything is your wisdom to lead these people. And God said, because you've asked for wisdom, and you didn't ask for money, and you didn't ask for long life, because you asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you all of it. Because wisdom is a secret to all of it. Wisdom can bring you riches in life, and wisdom can bring you a long, peaceful, restful, amazing life. He said, if you can just do that in your life, and you ask for that, that's what I'm going to give you. And that's what God did. Yet, with all the wisdom that King Solomon had, he didn't really live it all out. He started really good. But near the end of his life, the Bible says that his heart turned away from God. And suddenly, he was kind of living his own thing. And the book of Ecclesiastes is the last thing he wrote. It was the last time that he kind of looked back now that he was old and reflected on the decisions and stages of life. He began to comment of what he saw from his own perspective, of his own experience, what he had learned. Ecclesiastes es escrito por el rey Salomón, que al final de su vida está reflejando de todas las decisiones que él hizo. Hombre que era muy rico, el hombre más sabio que el mundo ha conocido. Sin embargo, con toda su sabiduría, no hizo las mejores decisiones. Y al final está escribiendo sobre lo que él aprendió de las decisiones que él tomó en su vida. By the way, it's important to remember this, graduates. You can have all the knowledge in the world, but knowledge and wisdom without obedience gets you nowhere. You can have all the degrees that you want, but if you don't have a biblical worldview, if you don't have God's perspective and wisdom in your life, then it means nothing. In fact, the book starts in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse number 2. You know what he says? His first reflection of life for him, he said, vanity is vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Vanidad de vanidades, todo es vanidad. La primera reflexión, que el hombre más sabio del mundo, y es importante, sabiduría sin obediencia, no alcanzamos nada, no hacemos nada. Salomón tenía toda la sabiduría, pero no lo aplicó en su vida. Y su primera reflexión era, todo es vanidad. Y sabes, hermanos, cuando no vivimos con sabiduría en nuestras vidas, obedeciendo lo que Dios nos ha dado de su sabiduría, la vida se convierte en algo de vanidad. Wisdom without God, applying God's wisdom in our life, everything becomes vanity anyway. First reflection, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. And you can read in chapter 2, we don't have time, chapter 3, as he looks at, man, I did everything, I worked under the sun, I tried everything, I tried working in every job, I tried all kinds of things, drinking all kinds of things, I tried every pleasure that the world said, hey, this will be fun, this will make your life right here. He said, I tried it. Did you know that King Solomon had over 300 wives and 700 concubines? I mean, the guy had it all. He said, I'm going to live all the pleasure I can live. And at the end, he's looking back and he's saying, it's all vanity. So what does he have to teach us? You know what? You read the whole book of Ecclesiastes and it boils down to chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. At the very end, this is what we learn from him. And this is what he wants to pass on to the graduates of his day and to us today as Christians. He wants to pass this on. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of men. two monumental truths that I want you to take with you, graduates. Two monumental truths that if you can apply in your life, you'll get to the end, whether that's at age 75, 85, 95, or 105. But you'll be able to look back, and you're not going to say, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. Because I can look back in 38 years of my life, and I can tell you it's not all been vanity. God's wisdom, obeying God's commandments and God's truth doesn't lead you to a conclusion of vanity, all is vanity. But rather, it leads you to a conclusion of life really is beautiful. And God is amazing. So, what are the two insights that you can take away from Solomon's life that he shares with us? Number one, it's this, fear God. The word fear in the Hebrew language doesn't mean to be like scared, oh my goodness, something's going to happen, monster's going to jump out of the closet. That's not what it is. In fact, it's the Hebrew word yare, which really means reverence. Reverence with terror. In other words, understanding who God is and who I am. Understanding that there's someone that we are given account to. There's someone greater than us. Someone greater than your future boss. Someone greater than your professor. There's someone greater than all that, and that is God. And to fear God is the secret to success. It's the secret to success. Fearing God. Now, I'm not talking about success as in money. I'm not talking about success when I talk about success. I'm not talking about, well, nothing will ever get invented by someone that's not a Christian, or there won't be any scientific discovery by someone that's not a Christian. No, there have been scientists that were great scientists that didn't even believe in God. And there's been some very rich people that didn't have any fear of God. And you know what they'll look at the end of their life? Vanity. That will be no different than Solomon. When I'm talking about success, I'm talking about a life that is valuable, a life that means something, that made a difference. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. To fear God is to know His Word, the person of His Word. That begins with Jesus Christ. And I say, graduate, whether you're in kinder or where you're in high school or college, listen, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it's the first step to living a wise life, to living a life with value. Our life without Jesus Christ is nothing and means nothing. The person of the Word of God brings value to our life. It brings purpose to our life. It brings meaning to our life. So if you're going to fear God, as Solomon is trying to share with us, after a life of vanity, you say, man, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have feared God in my life. Lo primero que Salomón nos dice es temer a Dios. Temer a Dios. Es tener una reverencia para Dios. No estar miedoso como que Dios me va a castigar. No, no, no. Es tener una reverencia de quién es Dios. Y para tener una reverencia hacia Dios, empieza con la persona de Dios, que es Jesucristo. Sin Jesús, la vida es vanidad. Con Jesús, nuestra vida tiene valor. Es algo que quieren, cuando hablas y están debatiendo de esto del aborto, ¿debemos tener o no? Lo que nunca quieren hablar es, ¿hay Dios o no hay Dios? Lo moral, ¿existe o no existe? Porque el temor de Dios no nos lleva a abortar niños, sino a reconocer quién da la vida a esos niños. Da valor a esa vida. El humano quiere decir, no, no hay valor hasta que sale del vientre de la madre. No, no lo, eso no es lo que nos enseña la palabra de Dios. Conociendo la persona de Jesucristo, da valor a nuestra vida, no vanidad. He says, fear God first by knowing the person, second by knowing the power of God. The power of God. Young people, there is no power like the power of our God. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The God that we serve, the God that we fear today, is not one that's made with hands of men. He doesn't have ears that don't hear or eyes that don't see. In fact, it's the opposite. God's eyes go to and fro among the earth, seeing whom he can show himself mighty through. The Bible says he hears our prayers, our desires, our dreams. The power of our God is an infinite power. It is an unchanging power. It is an undefeated power. If you're really going to fear God in your life, you need to know the person of God, but you need to know the power of God. Know the righteousness of God and the mercy of God and the goodness of God and the grace of God. You got to know just how powerful our God is. Man, listen, when you know the power of God, you can fear God. Most people don't fear God because they don't know the power of God. For some, it's just a figment of our imagination. It's something that some religious person made up. Can I say the God of the Bible is not a God that was made up? It is a God of power. So Solomon says, number one, fear God. Fear God. Know the person of God. Know the power of God. Second monumental truth that he teaches us is keep his commandments. Keep his commandments. You know, if fearing God is the secret to success, then keeping his commandments is the secret to avoiding failure. It really is. King David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." David had taught Solomon, "Solomon, let me tell you something. Before you live a life that you're going to turn around and say all is vanity, hide God's word in your heart. Keep his commandments." And let me tell you, for the first about 40 years of Solomon's life, really about the first 50, he did that. And God blessed him for it. Young people, I wish I could say that now that you're graduating, you don't have to fear anything. Everything's just going to be great in life, but it's not that way. You've gotten to this point, most likely because you've had some fear of God. But as you get into the next stage of life, don't lose that fear of God. And secondly, don't lose keeping his commandments. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6, he said to the people of Israel, "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." It is in the heart, the seat of our emotions, that we're to keep God's word. He said, hide these in your heart. How do we do that? Number one, by loving. Usually we use the heart as that illustration, right? We say, "I love you with all of my heart." Cuando estamos enamorados, decimos al novio o la novia, "Te amo. Te amo con todo mi corazón." Usamos el corazón como lugar donde está todas nuestras emociones, todo nuestro ser. Dice Salomón, para no tener una vida de vanidad, hay que temer a Dios y cumplir sus mandamientos, seguir sus mandamientos, obedecer sus mandamientos. ¿Cómo podemos obedecer? Con amarlo, con amarlo. Una y otra vez el salmista dice, amo la palabra de mi Dios. Amo tus mandamientos, tus estatutos, tus preceptos, tus principios. Mira, Salmo 119, el salmo más largo en toda la vida. Tiene 150 versículos. Cada versículo habla de la palabra de Dios. Cada 150 versículos hablando de la palabra de Dios. Te puedo decir, no conocía a David en la carne, pero lo que leo de él fue un hombre que amó la palabra de Dios. Si te quieres hacer la prueba, trata de escribir 150 versículos sobre la palabra de Dios. You try writing 150 verses on what you love about God's word. How does he do that? He does that because he spends time in it, because he keeps God's word in his heart. Solomon says, man, it was vanity. One, because I didn't fear God the way I should have. Number two, because I didn't keep his commandments. I didn't love them. But not only are you to love God's commandments, graduates, you need to meditate on them. Meditate is a Hebrew word that was used when you were talking about cows. Now, I don't know how much you know about cows and their digestive system. You probably learned this in science class at some point in school, I'm sure. But the way that a cow's digestive system works is that they eat the grass, they chew on it, and it goes into, and they have four stomachs. That's why they're so big. We only have one, so thank God, right? Four stomachs. And what they eat goes into one stomach. And what happens is over time, it begins to digest in that stomach, but it doesn't digest fully. So what they have to do is regurgitate it. In other words, it comes back up the esophagus, back to their mouth, and they start chewing on it again. Then it moves to the second stomach. But it's not done there. Same thing will happen after time. They'll regurgitate it. It'll be chewed on again a third time, go to a third stomach, then come up again, chew on it a fourth time, and then go into the last stomach. I won't tell you what happens after that, but you can figure it out. That word, meditate, is that word of the process of regurgitating food and then chewing on it again and then letting it go to the next thing. That's what it means, literally. The Jewish people were really creative on what they were going to do to describe what meditation was. That's what it means to meditate. And young people, if you're going to keep God's word in your life, you're going to have to meditate on it. You're going to have to chew on it and think about it. What does he mean by thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin? What does that even mean? How do I do that? Do I write it on a piece of paper and then put it in my jacket? How do I hide it? Is it only memorization or is it more than memorization? Can it be singing as well? How do I apply that? Some people have asked me, Pastor, how do you come up with your messages? By chewing and chewing and chewing. That's how. God will speak to you the same way. You might not have the same calling that I have, but you're a Christian just like me. And God calls all of us, chew on my word, meditate, meditate, meditate. In fact, the Bible says in Psalm chapter 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, that is God's word. And in his law doth he meditate, there's the word, day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Secret of life. Two simple things, Solomon said. Fear God, keep his commandments. How do I fear God? Know his person and know his power. How do I keep his commandments? Love them and meditate on them. Solomon said, that's how you avoid a life of vanity. He said, take it from me, the guy who had it all and did it all. And I can tell you it's vanity. No value in it. But if you can fear God and you keep his commandments, you can take a life that's full of vanity and make it worth something. You can give it some value. So, this evening, you have a choice as you enter the next stage of life. Whether you're going into first grade, going into college, or just going into life, you have a decision to make. That decision is, will I fear God? Will I keep his commandments? Very simple tonight. Man, but it makes all the difference between a life of vanity and a life of value. I want to encourage you, as you go into this next stage of life, make it count. Make it worth something. I'm sure in the graduation speeches you heard that over and over again. We're going to go change the world. I hope you do. But the only way that matters is if the way you change it has value. Because if it doesn't, it's vanity anyways. I want to encourage you. Live a life of value. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word and for your truth. And Father, I know that this evening, the message is rather simple, but it's so profound and deep in the truth that it reveals and what it teaches us to do. Father, I pray that we would be able, as not just graduates, but as Christians, to remember these two monumental truths. I pray that we wouldn't get to the end of our life and do as Solomon did and just say, man, it's all vanity. Oh, Father, I pray that we can look back at our life 30 years from now and say, man, the value of one life dedicated to God. The value of having a peaceful, restful, amazing life is, well, it's just more than what money can buy. It's more than what pleasure can give. And so, Father, I pray that the graduates today, that they would make that decision, but that we also, as your followers, would make that decision tonight. Fear you and follow you. Help us to apply that into our lives, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Una vez más, hermanos, gracias por estar y permitir este tiempo de enseñanza. Antes de despedir hoy en esta noche, les quiero invitar al terminar al servicio. Vamos a ir al Family Life Center, allá al centro familiar, para tener un tiempo de compañerismo. Hay comida allá, hay sándwiches, chips, sodas, hay mesas donde sentarnos. Ahí está todo allá. So, queremos invitar a cada uno. Toma tiempo terminando aquí, a pasar allá y así tener un tiempo de compañerismo comiendo. Antes de que toque el piano para que salgan los graduantes, lo voy a pedir que se pongan de pie el hermano Quintanilla, si puede venir. Vamos a cantar una vez más Mi Roca y después de Mi Roca vamos a cambiar el tono en el piano y así los graduantes van a salir primero con los padres y después todos nos vamos a mirar allá al centro familiar. Hermano Quintanilla, dirige.
Vamos a cantar este precioso alabanza, hermanos, y estamos listos, ¿verdad?, para recibir a los graduados y estar acompañando a las familias.
Justificado por la fe.
vamos a esperar que todos los graduados primero pasen. Va a estar tocando una melodía y van a pasar ellos. ¿Por dónde entraron? Adelante. Vamos a darles un aplauso, hermanos. Dios les bendiga. Vamos a esperarlos para comer, hermanos. Vamos a orar, hermanos, tener una palabra de oración. Y salimos y estamos allá en el salón. Señor y Padre Celestial, gracias por esta bendición. Gracias por este servicio, Señor. Y nuevamente, bendice los alimentos, Señor, que nuestros hermanos han traído y compartido con nosotros, Señor. Y que podamos tener un tiempo de compañerismo, Señor. Y nuevamente, orar por nuestros graduados. Gracias te damos, Señor, en todo, porque todo te lo pedimos con acción de gracias por Cristo Jesús. Amén. Dios me los bendiga, hermanos. Pasemos allá al salón para tomar los alimentos.